Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Davina and Sarah, for blessing us with that song. I don't want to miss one word that God speaks. So quiet my heart. I'm listening to what God's going to say. And in just a moment, Sister Downs is going to come and share with us. But before we go any further, I just want to say a very, very big happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. I pray you've had a great day. And I also just want to remind, as I do every year, to remind you to pick up the phone and give your mum a call right now. Some of our mothers will be waking up in other parts of the world. They're waking up just now. And you can get on the phone before you go to bed and give them a call to say Happy Mother's Day. I was reading a little bit about Mother's Day today, and I typed in some things about Mother's Day. And I found this little poem, I guess you could call it, about indications that you are a mother. Motherhood has truly set in. You know that you are truly a mother when you are offering to cut up other people's food. When you hide in the bathroom just to be alone. And I can hear some mothers saying amen. I may have even caught my wife doing that sometimes. You hope that tomato sauce is a vegetable because it seems to be the only thing that your kids eat. You read that the average five-year-old asks 492 questions a day, and you feel proud because your child is above average. You know you're a mother, and you know that motherhood is set in when you use your own saliva to clean your child's face. You know you're a mother when you count the sprinkles on each of the cupcakes to make sure that they're all equal. You know that motherhood is set in when you hear your mother's voice coming out of your mouth. You know you're a mother when you stop criticizing the mother that raised you. You know you're a mother when you hire a babysitter because you can't remember the last time that you're out with your husband, but you spend half the night just checking on the kids. You know that motherhood is set in when you say at least once a day, I just can't do this. But then you say in the next breath, but I wouldn't trade what I'm doing for the world. And I know a lot of mothers can relate with that. Especially I can relate with the sprinkles one, because my sister and I would my parents would buy us one chocolate bar, and they had a rule. Oh, we must have been poor because we only ever got one. Had to break it in half. And the rule was, you cut, I choose. And so at a young age, it was never that much into mathematics or geometry or anything. But suddenly, when I was presented with a violet crumble or a cherry ripe and I had to cut it, and then my sister was going to choose, I became an expert. We used rulers because there was no way I was going to give my sister any more than half. And I'm sure some of you can relate to that as well. There's another little thing that I read. It's called You Don't Know My Mother. A teacher asked a boy this question. She said, Billy, suppose your mother baked a pie and there were 7 people. Your parents, 2, plus 5 children, 7 people. What part of the pie would you get, Billy? And Billy replied, I'd get a 6th. I'm afraid, Billy, you don't know your fractions, the teacher said. Remember, Billy, there are 7 people around the table and the pie is going to be cut up evenly. How much pie are you going to get? And he said, I'm going to get 1/6. He said, the teacher said, no, you are wrong, Billy. And he said, no, teacher, I'm right. You don't know my mother. My mother would have said, I don't want pie. That's what mothers are like, self-sacrificing, always willing to give up for their children. And that speaks a lot about my mother as well. And I would like to invite my mom to come and minister the word today. She's a great encourager. She's an encouragement to me. She's an encouragement to many of you. And I want to invite her to bring a word of encouragement tonight to the mothers, but to every single one of us. So take your liberty, mom. Preach the word.
Thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God tonight with just a few of us, and I can't see any of you, but it's wonderful to be here and feel the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
I trust that you feel the same at home, even though it's different, I know, but it can be the presence of the Lord that makes the difference. So I was so excited to see the orphanage children, some of them. We have known since babies, and I'm so thankful for what God has done in their lives to see we have a nurse and a young man, how beautiful they look, and grown to be lovely young people, yes. Valuable to the orphanage. Thank God for that. Well, Over the weeks of being locked down, it's been wonderful to see so many of the names. You know, I can, on the YouTube, I see your names coming up from all around the world, and it surprises me, and I'm so thrilled to see all the names, and I do pray, and I ask that God will keep us all through all of this. We will be more than conquerors, because he loves us. Amen. So I'm very grateful to have this opportunity on Mother's Day, and I've had a wonderful Mother's Day. But really, Mother's Day is every day. We might not always feel like it, but really, we should honor our mothers every day. So thank you for the opportunity, Pastor Jonathan, to speak and to encourage tonight. But I would like to share with you something that happened to me around maybe 35, 36 years ago. It was a trauma in my life, and you never forget traumas, right? Never forget. It's a picture of something that was forever etched in my mind, and pictures are worth a thousand words. So I have it here in my mind, and it's a trauma. For those of you who know me well enough, you know that I love the outdoors. Forget the indoors, although I like to have a nice, tidy, clean house. That's all good. But really, the outdoors is what I love. I love bushwalking. I love working in the garden. I love to take cuttings of plants and grow them, and I put seeds in. And just to see them pop their heads through is a delight to me. I love it. So looking after plants, I enjoy. But my trauma, and I say trauma, not lightly, but my trauma was back in Melbourne. Our neighbour and I were having a chat over the fence. She was hanging her washing, and I spotted something in her garden, her beautiful garden. And this was what I have never forgotten. It was a bonsai tree. Those of you who know what a bonsai is, it's a trauma in my mind, I can tell you. This lady, her name was Joan, she had an oak tree, and she was so very proud of her bonsai oak. And she told me it's like 60 years old. And I looked at it, it's like 30 centimeters high. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is terrible. But I was horrified. Actually, I was shocked. But even more than that, I was totally mortified, if that's another word. But something so magnificent as an oak tree was brought down to a 30-centimeter bonsai. Something my mind will never forget. I can see it as I think about it. So my intrigue and my distaste for bonsais began. Why, oh why, would anyone find it beautiful? Beats me. But I looked at it and I thought about it. This tree would never reach its full potential. This tree would never be a shelter from the storm or from the sun, from the hot weather, only for a worm or a caterpillar. Maybe even a snail might find a refuge under the small bonsai tree. But this tree would never produce fruit the way that it was meant to. And that's what disturbs me. Bonsai. So I don't want a bonsai. I was almost going to go to Bunnings and buy one to bring here, to have it sit here so you could see it. But I thought, I don't want a bonsai because I don't want to be a bonsai. And I don't want any of you out there to be bonsais. We want to be those who can reach our full potential. So that's what I've come to encourage you tonight. Don't be a bonsai. Be a full-grown tree. Reach your potential. So a bonsai, its growth has been intentionally stunted to remain small. Intentionally, they take the tap roots and they cut them and they prune it and they cut it and they cut it and they prune it. Oh my goodness. Careful cultivation techniques that include small pots so the roots can't grow. They constantly prune to keep it a miniature size. Even though the trunk of this thing can get big, it will never reach what it should reach. Why was and how has this made an impact on my life? Some 35 years, I still remember it. So I'm going to share about it. But while I'm sharing with you about a bonsai tree, I want you to think, and I'm asking you the question, will you be a bonsai Christian? Will you be a bonsai Christian? Or will you be one that reaches your full potential? Because we have the potential to reach great things in God. Yes, amen. Amen. So I think we've got some pictures somewhere around. But I am so totally convinced that no matter where we come from, whatever our circumstances, we all can reach our full potential to be a servant and to be victorious and to be great in God's kingdom. We all have that same potential, no matter where we come from. So let me share with you a scripture, and I know that Sister Kylie, you will know this because how many times you have heard me quote Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night, that you will observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. And that's if you want to be successful in God's kingdom. Look at the word of God, observe what the word of God says, and do what the word of God says. So it's one of my favorite scriptures. So we have to read the word of God, and we have to allow the word of God to guide us. Every Christian can be in danger of becoming a bonsai or of making other people into bonsais. We can cause ourselves to become dwarfed spiritually and not grow as we should in God by not accepting all that Jesus did for us. You know, to realize what Jesus did in his death and his burial and his resurrection is victory for us. Our sins were nailed to the cross. When we go down into the waters of baptism, we go down as old and we rise it to walk in newness of life. And the Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection brings victory for our life. Amen? Yes. So we need to take the promises of God, hide them in our heart. This word of God is full of hidden riches, and we just need to read it, understand it, and apply it, and we will be forever changed. We'll reach our potential. We will be great in God's kingdom. We are told throughout the scriptures there are things that we must put on, allow those things to grow in our life, and there are some things that we must prune from our life. This pruning is not to destroy us, but to shape us and make us in the image of Jesus until Christ be formed in us, the scripture says. Therefore, reading the word of God on a regular basis, not only reading, accepting and doing what the word of God says. This word is life for us. The Bible speaks to us. And my husband tells of one of his teachers who used to be a drama, and he said the Bible is the only book that ever would speak to him, even though he wasn't a Christian. This word, it will speak to us. Our life will be changed. When we hear the preaching of the word, if we will observe to do the things that we hear, we will be changed. We will be changed. Amen. And I can hear Brother Akbar saying amen because I know his testimony. Amen. We can cause others to be bonsai by the words that we speak. Words can hurt. Words can hinder. But words can heal. Words can be a stepping stone or a stumbling block. We choose the words that we use. It's up to us. We can build up or we can destroy. That's right. But it's up to us. As the psalmist David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. So we can become bonsai'd in our thinking. And I go back to thinking about David as a young boy. He was sent out to look after the sheep on the fields. He could have quite easily had an excuse to be bonsai'd or to think of himself not worth anything. He was the youngest in the family, sent out through all the different seasons to look after the sheep. David was constantly living in the shadow of others. And when the prophet Samuel, it's interesting, when he came to the house of Jesse and said, you know, he'd come to anoint the future king, and all these good-looking young men, all, you know, very strong, handsome young men, proceeded to walk before the prophet. And after a while, the prophet said, there must be another one. Oh, that's right, I have another child. Yeah, he's out looking after the sheep. He could have thought himself second rate. He could have allowed himself to be bonsai'd by being overlooked. But I will tell you, when David was out there in that dark, lonely, isolated place, that is where David set his heart to find his God. That's where David came into relationship with God. In that lonely place, away from friends and families, a whole lot like what we're doing right now in isolation. You can make decisions through this time of isolation that will forever change you. It was there that David grew into a courageous young man, killing a lion and a bear with his bare hands. And it was at that lonely place where he sharpened his skill using the stone and the sling. And you all know the story of David. And again, David was the messenger boy sent down to take food to his brothers. And he's like, what's going on? And David said, look, I'll go fight the giant. So confident was he in his God. He said to the giant, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. So no matter where we come from, no matter what our situation is, we do not have to be bonsai'd in our thinking. David was, he's one of his brothers said, oh, I know the naughtiness of your heart, David. You just came to be a sticky beak. He might have, but he knew his God had called him for a purpose. David wrote many of the Psalms that we read today and we love, and we find so much strength and comfort and encouragement from them. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David said, I will fear no evil, because I know, Lord, you're constantly with me and you are my guide. So we can become bonsai'd in our thinking. But we can also become bonsai'd in our development. Bonsai trees, as I said, offer no shade, maybe only for the worm or the caterpillar, maybe a snail. But in the book of Colossians, we can read the actions of a Christian. Seek the things of the kingdom. Set our affection on things above, not on the pleasures of this world. If you want to develop as a Christian, read Colossians. It tells you what to do. In verse 5, it says, mortify, kill out, prune out worldly actions and attitudes. If you want to develop in God, then kill out and mortify worldly actions and attitudes. Going on further, it says, put off, and then it says, put on, let the word of God dwell in you richly. These are things that we can do. I can put off my bitterness. I can put off my anger, and I can put on love, and I can allow the word of God to dwell in me richly. These are action words. So this all helps with development in my Christian walk. If I can give you some homework This week I've been trying to help some of the grandchildren with their schoolwork, and oh my goodness, struggle. It's like more than 50 years since I've been at school, so you feel sorry for me, okay? Trying to teach three and fourth graders how to do schoolwork. Woof. My. But I can go to the Word of God, and I can go to chapter 3 of Colossians there, and I can underline all the action words. I know what an action word is. And I can obey those things, and so can you. So your homework this week, get the Word of God, get a pencil and underline every action word. It will help you grow in your development. Don't just underline it, observe it and do it. We can become bonsai if we don't do what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6. He tells us to put on the whole armor of God. The armor is God's. How we stand is up to us. We can have our mind covered with the helmet of salvation. We have our loins girt about with truth. We have shoes with the gospel of peace. And above all, we take the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So we can fight this enemy of our soul. We have strength. And then it says, above, with all prayer and supplication, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. These are things we need to do. So I think about that oak tree, and I am sure if that oak tree that I saw that day had eyes and could see, or a voice that could speak, if it had looked out over Joan's beautiful garden and seen the other magnificent trees, I am sure it would have wanted to be big and beautiful. So I ask you, when you see a Christian who is vibrant, when you see someone who is conquering, don't be a bonsai. Amen. Grow in your development. We can all do it. We can all do it. Bonsais are determined by the size of the pot it's planted in. Some of us have had situations in our life that could have left us bonsai. Our heritage, less than beautiful, less than even what we would want. Our education, our health is a struggle for some. Our wealth, we might have it, we might not have it. It makes no difference. I want to encourage us all to lift up our eyes beyond our circumstances and our immediate surroundings and be like the Apostle Paul and said, this one thing I do, I forget. That's an action word. I forget. I choose to forget those things which are behind, and I press and I push forward. Another action word. These are things we have to do. Push on to the greater things that God has for us. Amen. Our predicaments, even where we all find ourselves in this time of lockdown, we can use this time wisely. Make some good habits. Our habits and our choices, they determine our destiny. You want a good destiny? You want your heaven to be your destiny? Make some good choices and some good habits. That will be where you'll end up. So if we can start with Psalm 139, verse 14, and quote it, and I know we all know it. If the young people were here, I'd ask them to say it. I am fearfully, and I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, O God, and that my soul knoweth right well. Do I always feel wonderful? No. But I know what the Word of God says about me. Do I think everything is great? No, but I know what the Word of God says about me. So I am not going to be bonsai'd in my development or my thinking. And I like to add on to there, and I know we shouldn't add to Scripture, but God doesn't make junk. We are made in His image. Praise God. Amen. Job went through so much. And he says, I know my Redeemer lives. He knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. And he declares that with confidence. I will come forth. I will not be destroyed by these circumstances around me. Paul is another. Even though very educated, he went through some agonizing things. Shipwrecks, my goodness. Beatings, times of starvation, put in jail. He could have given up and gone into a dark place. Bondside. But because he had a relationship with God and because he was planted securely, he had not been bonsaied through the things that he had suffered. Brothers and sisters and friends right around this world, even our children at that orphanage, we don't have to be bonsaied. We can be great in God's kingdom because he has a plan for each one of us. He knew us before we were even born. And Paul was able to declare, and I am convinced, he says, that all that I go through, nothing will separate me from the will of God. And he says, I am more than a conqueror because you love me, oh God. How can we say that if we don't know who our conqueror is? If we don't know who our God is, we can't have that confidence. Bonsais, they don't have deep roots. That's why they cannot stand, and they constantly need propping up. They need more attention than a newborn baby. If their roots get too hot, they turn up their toes and they die. Too much water and they turn up their toes. Conditions too dry, conditions too wet. Really, only a worm or a caterpillar can find shelter in a bonsai. But to us, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Isaiah 92 talks about those that be planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. The Bible says in 92 verse 12, it says, they shall be like the cedars of Lebanon. And cedars are strong, they're stately, they're evergreen and they live long. That's what we want to be like. So I'm asking you tonight, have you allowed to be yourself bonsaied in your thinking or your development? Or are you going to reach to your full potential? Have doubts and discouragement filled your heart? All of these things can cause us to be a bonsai Christian, never reaching our potential. We need to throw off these doubts and don't let Satan snip off any more of your growth. We need to stop it before it goes too far. When he reminds you of your past, you just go right ahead and remind him of his future, because we know what God has planned for him, but we need to remember what God has planned for us. Perhaps you say you cannot have the newness of life that the scripture talks about. Oh, I tell you tonight, yes, in the waters of baptism, we go down, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new in the name of the Lord. We walk in newness of life, a new beginning, forgiven, washed clean by the blood of Jesus, and then to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Living for Jesus, brothers and sisters and friends out there, is the only life. It's the best life. I could sing that song, Brother Akbar. Living for Jesus is the best life of all. Amen? Serving and following him, yes. Stop listening to the voices that say you're not good enough. You're a failure. You'll never make it. Satan is a liar. In fact, the Bible says he is the father of lies, and he is the accuser of the brethren. He's come to condemn us, but we have a God who loves us. So we need to fill our hearts and minds with God's word, and you will become planted and begin to put out new spiritual shoots again. Oh, springtime in the garden is amazing time, but springtime in the life of a Christian, when new growth starts to reach up, is beautiful. So let's all open our hearts to God's love and forgiveness, and let's not make mistakes of the past that stunt our spiritual growth. As Christians, we can be a tree that has strength, fruitfulness, and maturity. Or we can be a tree that is fragile, limited fruit, doesn't bear much fruit, or we can be stunted. Isaiah says, you were created to flourish and to display God's splendor. If we're going to grow to display God's splendor, our roots need to be in the right place. A big tree that has shallow roots is very dangerous. Pot-bound trees will never reach their potential. Pot-bound Christians will never reach their potential. People who don't grow in their faith never reach their full potential. God doesn't want to tend to our lives. He wants to transform our lives. God doesn't want to tend to just the outside things. He wants the roots to go deep in His love. We go deeper with Jesus because with Jesus we have strength to withstand the storms of life. We go deeper with Jesus because with Jesus we become a church that reaches outside the four walls of this building. I often ask, do we live in a house that is filled with mirrors where all we can see is ourselves? Or do we live in a house that's got windows where we look out and we see others that we can help? Bonsais are a mini replica of trees that should be, or the trees that we find in nature. I'll share with you a man who could have easily been a bonsai, Joseph. And most of us know the story of Joseph very well. He was a man of integrity and forgiveness. And God had put these two values in his life. And for some of us, that's what we need, integrity, and we need to be able to forgive. It's incredible. If you know some of the things about the life of Joseph, he was hated by his brothers, loved by his dad, and therefore his dad gave him that coat of many colors. And it must have really been a very beautiful coat, but honestly, it made his brothers so jealous. They were enraged with him, and they hated him so much. They conspired to kill him. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. We need to kill out those things. Instead of killing Joseph, they put him in the pit, and then when the traders came along, they decided to sell him. It'd be interesting, I can't remember how much they got for his life. They would have been happy to accept anything. Just get rid of him. But Joseph experienced the pit, slavery, hatred, prison, accused falsely, forgotten when he was in prison by those that he had helped. You would have thought they would have had loyalty to him, but no, they forgot about who he was. But God had not forgotten him. His life story, one of disappointment, mistreatment, abandonment, and some of us can relate to some of those things, but all these things could have caused him to be bonsai'd and bitter. But in Genesis 49:22, it says Joseph was a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough by a well. Isn't that a beautiful picture? This beautiful tree by a well. His branches ran over the wall, it says. Branches that reached over the wall to others. All the while the roots went down into the stream for nourishment. And that's the way we can be. Our roots go down deep into the Word of God and in our relationship with God, then we will be able to reach out over the wall to others. Psalm 1 declares that they that are planted in the house of the Lord shall bring forth fruit. John 15 talks about Jesus being the vine and we are the branches. If we abide in him, we'll bring forth much fruit. Bonsais need constant care. Do we need constant care? Do we react to everything that comes and happens to us? My foster dad, he said to me once, must have been something going on, and maybe I was being a little bonsai, needing a little bit of attention or something like that. And he says, "Are you a chocolate soldier?" And I'm like, "I don't think I'm a chocolate soldier." You know what chocolate soldiers do, Brother Akbar? They melt when the battle gets too hot for them. So I don't want to be a chocolate soldier. I want to reach my full potential in God. Bonsais never reach full potential. Yes, they have fruit, but look at the quantity. They feed only a few. In conclusion, and I thank God for tonight. I trust that I've been able to share with you. There's two pictures we're going to put up. A bonsai oak, deliberately stunted. And then there's a picture of an oak that reaches its full potential. It looks beautiful. Look at that. Which one will you be? Bonsai in that small pot? Or will you be that magnificent tree reaching up and out, sheltering those from the storm? The interesting thing to note about those two pictures of those two oak trees is the acorn started the same journey. Their environment, the pot, the soil determined how they would grow. Same with us. Our environment, how we dig the soil of our heart, how we allow the Word of God to speak to us, determines how we will grow. Interesting fact about the roots of trees. You know, I know this is not a garden night, but really this is where we're the soil of our heart. The roots of trees in a very thick forest, they actually support one another in the hard times. And that's what it's like in the church. We should be able to support one another when we do go through those hard times. People who send down roots, deep roots, are like pillars in the church. And we heard Brother David Kent just last week, I believe it was, talking about the pillars of the church. They are strong people. They are reliable people. They are ever-present people. People who have made a difference in the life of others. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Why have I chosen this to share with you? Because I know we all can be successful. We all can reach our potential. Amen. And when our thinking is changed and challenged, that's when we can reach our full potential. We grow ourselves as we can grow others around us. Just like the trees in the forest, when the hard times come, they support one another. So let's bloom, let's flourish right where we are planted. Send down deep roots. Reach over the wall into our communities and our families, those that need to know the love of a Savior. So let me finish with this scripture. Philippians chapter 1, being confident. Have confidence in God, that he which hath begun a good work in you will complete it when Jesus comes to take us, or we go to be with him. We are all a work in progress. Amen. So tonight, will you be a bonsai, or will you reach your full potential? Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Downs, for that word. And right now, I do think that we need to go to the Lord in prayer. You see, if you know anything about trees, you'll know that they grow. They grow at different rates during different seasons. In difficult times, in the drought, it's when the trees will send their roots deep down into the deeper waters. And maybe this time of isolation, maybe this time of COVID has been a very difficult time for you, and that you're experiencing, as it were, a drought. But this is a time when our roots can go deeper into the Word of God. And my encouragement to you is, why don't you let your roots go deep into the Word of God? Why don't you let your prayer life grow in this time? Why don't you let your time of devotion grow at this time? Why don't you purpose in your heart to be a fruitful bow like Joseph? Joseph, it says of Joseph in Genesis that his branches reached over the walls. Let's not be selfish. Let's not just focus on what's inside the walls of our life. But God, I want my life to be fruitful. I don't want to be a bonsai. I want my life to reach over the wall and to touch somebody else's life. Why don't we pray right now? Lord Jesus, we love you, Lord God. We thank you for your word that has been shared tonight. The encouragement and the challenge that we feel, oh God. Lord, that we don't want to be bonsai'd in our thinking. We don't want to be bonsai'd in our development. And oh God, we don't want to be bonsai'd in our fruitfulness. So tonight, oh God, as we feel challenged by your word, that we would allow your spirit to move inside of us. That we'd allow your word to go in as a seed and to grow, oh God, so that we can be fruitful. Lord, I pray that our branches will reach over the walls and that our lives, Lord, and what you're doing in our life will be a blessing to other people. Lord Jesus, we just pray, Lord, for our whole church in this time. Lord, I pray, Lord, as they ease the restrictions slowly, oh God, help us, oh God, to remain stronger. Until we come back together as a church, help us to grow in this time and help us to come back to church, oh God, ready and expecting the greatest revival we've ever seen in this city, oh God. Prepare our hearts, oh God. Dig and dung as you must, oh God. But prepare our hearts so you can use this church, oh God, to be a fruitful bow in this city, a fruitful bough in this city and this region. And oh God, we pray for our church in Cootamundra. We pray for our brethren in Tumut and Wagga and Goulburn and Bega, oh God. We pray, Lord God, that you would be with them, Lord God, and prepare our hearts for the greatest revival this region has ever seen. Oh God, we want to be fruitful. We don't want to be bonsai. Help us, oh God. Be with us as we go into our working weeks, oh God, as the children go back to school. Lord, help us keep your hand of protection upon every single one of us. We pray for our orphanage home at this time. Lord, even right now as we pray, visit them in a very real way. I pray for their service tonight as they will go into service in just a matter of hours. Lord, you would presence yourself there in a very real way. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. And all the church says, amen. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus.
I'm praying, God, come and turn this thing around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. I'm calling on the name that changes everything, yes. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. All of my hope is in the name of Jesus. Turn this thing around, oh yes, God, turn it around, God, turn it around, God, turn it around. I'm calling on the name that changes everything. Oh yeah, yeah, God, turn it around, God, turn it around.